Dramatised events. Characters and letters in this series were inspired by true stories from known historical facts and archive. A story of Irish whiskey. How three families saved it from extinction. The families unanimously agreed to go with Jameson as the brand they'd put all their resources behind and push internationally. But it wasn't an easy decision. After all, the Powers and the Murphys were guardians of their respective families' whiskies and legacies. And this decision would have monumental impact on both. But would it be a positive one? Carol Quinn, archivist, Irish Distillers, explains.
And the Murphys and the Powers took the hit and they said, yes, for the good of the category, our brands will take a back seat and everything is going to go behind Jameson. And so they did this enormous push, but really, it was proving very difficult.
But why did they all choose Jameson? Kristen Jameson explains.
I'll tell you exactly what my father used to say, because it was the best. And people just simply liked, and they still like, the unsmoky Irish whiskey.
There's another dimension as well, which is very important.
The late John Ryan of Powers, in one of his last interviews before his passing.
The Jameson Distillery in Bow Street, the Powers Distillery in John's Lane, and most of the distilleries in the Cork Distillery Empire were all dating back about 200 years. And for the most part, they represented Victorian technology. In the meantime, the industry of distilling had moved on considerably, and it was necessary that if Irish whiskey was to compete in the world in the future, that a brand new, modern distilling complex would have to be conceived, built, executed, and brought into production. And sadly, all of the old distilleries, with all their great history and tradition, were going to have to be closed down. And the industry is going to have to move from the 19th century into the 21st century. And miraculously, that's what happened. In 1969, the decision was taken to build a brand new distilling complex in Middleton, County Cork, where the company owned land, and more importantly, the company had access to excellent water from the Dungourney River, which flowed through that land. And in 1974, they started building.
They needed to build the most modern distillation plant in Europe. And that plant had to be able to produce the three different styles of whiskey that the three companies that had formed Irish Distillers were renowned for. And that's not easy. That is not easy. And no other distillation plant had done that before. It was a leap into the unknown. But they had around them two things, I think. They had a legacy and a belief in what they were doing. And they also had a team of really young, enthusiastic people who didn't see the problems, who literally saw this is a fantastic chance. I never thought, living in Ireland, working in Ireland, I'd get to work with equipment like this, so off I go. And that really was the attitude of the team that was building Middleton.
The distillery built in 1975 was an amazing transformation.
Barry Crockett, Master Distiller Emeritus.
Totally new in many respects. There was a huge vision to develop and build a distillery which really would preserve, I suppose, the traditional elements of the Irish pot still, but at the same time introduce other types of distillation systems to produce a whole range of grain whiskies, which were essential for the amelioration of flavour of the more heavy style whiskies, which were more then available. One would have to say it was the largest evolution in terms of the Irish whiskey industry that occurred really since, I suppose, the big changes which came into being, say, after 1823, 1825, around that particular period of time. You know, if you look at the French, cognac, champagnes, they have their own terroir, they have their own region, they have a lot of mystique, I suppose, built around different categories of drinks, different categories of foods, indeed, for different regions. You have Parma, ham, and all this kind of thing. In Ireland, I think it is very, very clear that the single Irish pot still most certainly fits in within the history, within the heritage, within the techniques which were used in the distilling industry for a very, very long period of time. And there is no greater beverage, for the want of a better term, that can really be regarded as essentially or quintessentially Irish than the single Irish pot still.
An international team of designers and experts were brought on board. Each brought something new and innovative, which made New Middleton the most advanced distillery in Europe.
And they all introduced ways of thinking that were so amazingly new and different to what we would have been aware of prior to that. And particularly when it came to the commissioning, it was a fantastic, exciting period. I remember we were working, 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. The biggest concern that people had was that the flavour of the resulting spirit would be so distinctly different to what existed previous to that, that people would say, oh, this isn't Irish whiskey anymore, it's whatever. And so therefore, this was a prime concern where the Irish pot still whiskies were concerned, less so in the case of grain whiskey, because grain whiskey, by its very nature, is much lighter. And indeed, with the extractive distillation technique, the expectation was that that system would produce a better quality grain whiskey anyway.
And can you imagine being the poor devil who was responsible for making sure the first taste from the new distillery was up to scratch? Yes, the man with that responsibility was Barry Crockett.
Oh, I remember quite clearly. In fact, I actually myself was responsible for the first stage distillate, then of course bringing it back through to the second stage, and finally the third stage. And even within the first week or fortnight, one could clearly see that there wasn't going to be any serious problem. It took a bit of modification, but one could clearly see that it wasn't going to be a huge concern that somehow or another the resulting spirit, the resulting whiskey, was going to be so greatly different to what existed prior to that, that, you know, people would say, oh my God, this is not it, like, you know, but that didn't arise.
So the new distillery was built. It was epic. The largest, most modern distillery in Europe. It should have been the last hurdle, but it wasn't. There was one more to come. The most difficult one of all.
As often in the commercial world, things aren't always going their way. And by 1988, the firm is in crisis. A number of the shareholders have made it publicly known that they want to be selling their shares. The company is actually ripe for takeover. And this causes a lot of concern and a lot of consternation, because some of the interested parties, they make it very clear what they want. They want to break up the company. They want to lose some of the brands. They want to actually turn back the clock to a certain extent. And really, within Irish distillers, this is greeted with horror. This is absolutely greeted with horror, because they've worked so hard. It's only been, you know, barely over 20 years since the formation of Irish distillers. They haven't had a chance, really, to put into place the full vision. And now they're looking at the company being broken up. And this can't be allowed to happen. It absolutely can't be allowed to happen. But the only people who seem interested in working with the company are people who seem to want to destroy it, really.
Andrea Jameson, Shane Jameson's daughter, explains how her father did indeed have sleepless nights worrying about the impact of a takeover and trying to find a solution, because he cared deeply about how business decisions would impact upon the lives of the employees.
That was his belief in life, and was his religion in a way. He thought, treat everyone as you would like to be treated yourself. He brought that with him everywhere. So you had huge, enormous respect for him, not because you were frightened or because he scared you, or he just encompassed everything in life and wanted everyone to achieve something and would help in that way wherever he could. Of course, when the takeover was going on, his whole life was revolved about trying to keep the business in Ireland. He really couldn't see and didn't want to ever let it happen that it would be taken away from Ireland. And he was so concerned about everyone involved in the business. He was very frightened that if the distillery was taken abroad, that jobs would be lost in Ireland.
Charles O'Reilly gives some insight into how his father Frank and Irish distillers might have felt about the possibility of a takeover by Pernod Ricard.
The realisation that they were all the time short of that bit of capital that would make the brands really happen. And Pernod Ricard, by investing so heavily and so strongly and so committed to it, made what they saw, what they had the vision and the seed, they made it happen. And that would have been another huge high point. But I think the realization that they themselves couldn't bring it to the next stage probably must have been a low point, if you like. Very tough time.
The late John Ryan of Powers, who recalled in an interview the results Pernod Ricard brought to the business and what his father thought about the merger.
The result was, almost immediately, Jameson were available in probably about 40 daughter companies around the Pernod Ricard world. That figure has increased enormously since then. But in a very short time, Jameson became the darling of many of the daughter companies and surged ahead in sales terms from 1988 onwards. So it was clearly the right decision. When I first heard from my father that the merger was going to take place, I said to my father, well, that'll make us a monopoly of Irish whiskey. And he said, yes, but we're going to be a very benign monopoly. And the best thing that could happen to us is that we make such a success of our brands that other people come in to compete with us under the umbrella of our successful brands. And that is precisely what has been happening in the last 10 years. Jameson has proved itself to be a truly major global international brand, and its success has attracted other people to come in and set up whiskey distilleries in Ireland with the view to competing with Jameson in the world markets. And that's healthy because that grows the overall size of the market, and as long as they make nothing but quality whiskey and keep the quality image of Irish whiskey up, then that can only do the industry good.
In my work as a journalist, I've gone around and I've interviewed, you know, plenty of people who work in distilling.
Journalist Bill Linnan regularly visits new and up-and-coming distilleries popping up all over Ireland.
They all say the same thing. They say that IDL have always been incredibly supportive, you know, which is extraordinary when you think about it, because they are competitors. But Irish distillers know, going back through their decades and centuries of experience, you know, accumulative from all the different brands, that you need variety and you need diversity. And, you know, they were hanging on in there for a long, long time, for decades, you know, back to the 1970s, when they were the ones keeping the flame alive. And they just want to pass that torch now out to the others and just say, you know, let's go for it. They all talk about the rising tide. And that's always been their vision, I think, is just a really thriving whiskey scene, you know, and they just want to facilitate it whatever way they can.
Ever since then, the marketing strategy has been just to do that. Get a glass of whiskey into the hand of the consumer and let them taste the delight that is Irish whiskey.
I think it was Jameson 12. It had a slightly more chocolate taste to it. And by the end, I absolutely realised why my father never did a tasting with us.
I remember sitting there tasting Powers for the first time, never having drank whiskey before, and just going, I love this. This is fabulous. Ever since that day, I've had a love of the juice. It was always kind of my drink after that. It'd be the special drink.
I remember how I got the taste of Jameson, because my mother and father would ask me to mix their whiskey for them in the evening. And or my mother would like another, so I'd go and get it for her. And then, of course, I always had a sip. And that's how I got the taste, bit by bit. So whiskey is my tipple. Not that I can drink very much. But I just think it's such a rounded taste. It's just a warm taste.
You get sort of little hints of vanilla, so a bit of sweetness to it. Some sort of woody, toasted wood notes. A little bit of like a chocolate, marzipan-y, like coconut feeling to it as well. But when on the way down, it has that sort of lingering spice to it. I describe it as having sort of a nice heat.
If I was recommending one for anyone to say this should be your go-to, this is what you should benchmark Irish whiskies against, I would say Redbreast 12. That would be where I'd start at, because it's approachable, it's affordable. It's usually 60 to 70 euros depending on where you get it, and it's a uniquely Irish style. It's the single pot still style, so it's quite different to what you'd expect from either blends or from single malts. So for that would be where I'd tell people to kind of start their journey.
My father always maintained that it was so pure, the purest of drinks.
Since 2012, Irish distillers have invested 400 million euro in their Midleton distillery, Dungourney maturation site, Fox and Geese bottling facility in Dublin to facilitate the global growth of Irish whiskey. Master distiller Brian Nation sums up how he thinks the founding families of these whiskies might react today if they could see their legacy alive and well.
Jemison family would have been very innovative, would have always wanted to be ahead of their time. And I think that this, seeing the success of Jemison and seeing the drive of Jemison and seeing how Jemison has almost shaped, well, it certainly has shaped the Irish whiskey category, but even has shaped the way people appreciate whiskey, I think they would be very proud. I think they would be very excited about the way the innovations have gone and the developments and the expansion of the Jemison portfolio. I think they would be absolutely blown away by it. And I think they would really be proud of what they effectively started.
They really kind of sparked this resurrection that we're seeing now.
Journalist Bill Linnan believes that Irish distillers laid a very solid foundation on which today's whiskey renaissance has been built.
We talk about it in the last, say, 6 or 7 years about, you know, the renaissance and how things are coming back. But the groundwork for that was being laid 15, 20 years ago when they were pushing Jameson and pushing it into the American market in particular. Jameson was that easygoing, lovable Irish, you know, that was approachable. And they were able to just capture the market over there off the basis of that. And it still, you know, really is kind of the engine.
Charles O'Reilly is sure what the high point of this last chapter would have been for his father, Frank, and all those involved.
Actually, a huge high point for him, if he were alive today, would be the fact that so many new distilleries are springing up in Ireland. He would regard that as absolutely wonderful, that the work that the Murphys, all the Jemisons and Crichtons and all the families together, and Ryans and everyone, had all those seeds had come to fruition, and that it now, an ancient industry in Ireland, was springing up again, providing employment, providing choice. I think they'd have been thrilled, absolutely thrilled.
To fearlessness.
To fearlessness.
A Story of Irish Whiskey is produced by lastcastmedia.com for Irish distillers, with special thanks to our interviewees for their contributions to the series, in particular those at the Midleton and Bow Street distilleries. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And for more information on Irish whiskey, go to irishdistillers.ie.